Welcome to the Wednesday Technology Show on Wired. Let me welcome my co-host in the studio, Rama Chikaki, co-founder and CEO of Barakar Ventures, a Dubai-based organisation that fosters the development of sustainable businesses in the Middle East. She's also head of marketing and sales at Zedna. Rama, great to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you too. Thank you.
Welcome back. And our other contributor is off. He's off-site today. He's
he
in
is.
Beirut in Lebanon.
We will carry on in spirit on his
We
behalf.
Will. Well, he's going to be joining us. He will.
Okay, good.
One not to shy away from the technology show. We are going to be having a phone call with him around 12:30. That's Alexandra McNabb, of course, of Spot on PR. As I mentioned, he is in Beirut. He's at Geekfest number 5, so we'll be catching up with him and getting all the latest details from this event. And then coming up in the second hour, our theme this week is animation in the Arab world. Where is it in terms of growth, expansion, support, education and international exposure? We've got lots of people joining us here in the studio. We have James Holmes, who's a spokesperson for Rubicon Group Holding, which are a real success story, I think, to follow. They started in Jordan, have now got offices in Dubai, in LA and also in the Philippines, and have really diversified. You may have obviously, in fact, they were just in the news today. In fact, with a story. Let me see if I can just find it for you. They've just inked a deal with, in fact, a new toy brand. They've acquired the worldwide licensing, merchandising and digital media rights for the collectible hand toy Monster in my Pocket.
Nice.
They do loads of education stuff as well, loads of animation. Really interesting. So I'm looking forward to having a chat with them. We will also be welcoming Kieran Bartlett, who's Campus Academic Coordinator for the SAE Institute here in Dubai. As we know, they offer a number of courses on 3D animation, bachelor's and honours degrees, etc. So we'll be getting all the details about that. Of course, very, very valuable is education in terms of creating the next generation of animators and to take it forward. So we'll be having a chat with him. We will also be joined in the studio by Arafat Ali Khan, who is the Director of Public Relations at Extra Cake PRA. They, in fact, were organisers of the Middle East Film and Comic Con, which is an event for fans of the entertainment and popular culture in the Middle East. They had some really great people joining, both locally and internationally. And I think what is interesting about this is that it could be sort of seen as some sort of kind of a barometer to have a look at what's happening within the industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a great event. We've heard about it. We hadn't participated, but I think it was lovely.
Mm. Yeah. And we also have Dima from Freedom Media, whom you have arranged.
And the two co-founders, absolutely. Mm. So we're looking forward to meeting them. Freedom Media has some great animation content, both that they've created for their own and has taken virally online, and others that they do commercially for organizations.
We have a packed show coming
up.
And do you know what's fun? I must say, we started this because we were going to do something else, and it was sort of last minute that we went, okay, let's do this instead.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I was having trouble finding people to talk to. I even put word out on Twitter.
Oh, look at that. I saw your tweet.
Didn't work, though.
Remarkable.
Didn't work. And Facebook. Didn't work. Obviously, I'm not following the right people. I don't know. But yeah, I was quite a little bit upset by that. But never mind. However, you know, it always happens, doesn't it? You sort of put the word out, panic. And then all of a sudden, everything comes back at the same time. And what's fascinating is there's so many animators out there. There's so much going on.
Yes.
You know, I think we've only just gone and scratched the surface this afternoon, but it's really exciting. I mean, again, I was put in touch with two other, I think, animators. Amr Shumali, apparently from Zan Studio in Palestine, but is based here. And Azim Agusain as well, who's someone else who's an animator. And there's loads more. So I hope that maybe next time we can... We'll do an even bigger show and invite more and more
definitely.
Animators. But it's great to know that obviously it's a growing industry, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our lineup for today's programme. As always, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to join in the show at any point, well, feel free to do so. You can text in on 40001. Well, first off, we've been scouring the web for stories that have caught our eye over the week. I've got loads. You've got so much paper surrounding me today. All recycled, I must add. But I'll start with you. What have you found for us?
So very quick headlines. I mean, there seems to be a lot happening around people doing lobbying for one petitioning for one cause or another. So one that caught my eye was 17 Magazine, which is a very popular teen magazine.
Did that used to be called Just 17?
Possibly. Well, now it's for 17 plus or minus.
Oh, right.
It's
probably for 12-year-olds now, though, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the girls in the magazine are quite young. But they agree to feature real girls following an online petition. And what this is great. This young lady, Julia Blum, 14 years old, posted to change.org asking 17 to commit to print one unaltered photo spread per month,
okay,
because she was distraught by the fact that all of these girls that were appearing in the magazine were photo edited, photoshopped, and within a day they got 85,000 participants saying,
gosh,
you know, signing the petition.
Wow.
So it was obviously an overwhelming number of people feel that, you know, real teens need to be represented in these magazines. And so on the back of this, 17 magazine agreed. And now the young lady and her supporters have moved on to now request the same of, I think, Vogue Teen or Teen Vogue.
Mm, I didn't even know there was a Vogue Teen.
Yeah, apparently so. So, I mean, there's a rise in teen advertising, but I think it's really great that teens are taking matters into their own hands and asking for, and they're using the web to do it. It's wonderful.
Now, I find that interesting because a lot of the time we've done had many conversations on these shows about, you know, all the skinny models and why are the magazines actually sort of perpetuating this whole concept of just truth. There's no reality in it. Gold photoshops, etc., etc. And a lot of the time the response is, well, this is what readers want.
Yes.
You know, this is what they want to see because it's all about aspiration, it's et cetera, et cetera. It's a fantasy world. But, well, I mean, maybe, but this, I think, story proves that, well, actually, maybe they don't want to see that. And maybe
Absolutely.
They do want to see more of a reality in the pages of these magazines.
And this is what's beautiful about the internet, is it's really allowing for real democratic public opinion. And, you know, when people see something that they don't like, they voice their concerns and they're heard.
And things happen.
Yes, exactly.
Great story. Love that. And actually, let's put it out here to listeners as well. I mean, obviously, we try and, for this show, do think of themes, etc., that are relevant to you listening. And so why not let us know if there are any themes that you feel that you'd like to hear more about. We've covered such things as cyberbullying. We are obviously doing animation in the Arab world this week. We've done social media, all sorts of various different things. But we'd love to hear from you if there are any themes or discussions that you think we should be having here on the radio and that you'd like to participate in. Then why not let us know 140-01. Well, I've got a couple of stories for you as well. Technology in the Olympics. It's quite obviously very topical. The Olympics are coming up. Gosh, I can't believe it. They're just around the corner. But this is interesting about how athletes use technology to win medals. They're almost,
really?
Yeah, they're almost like robots themselves. There's a new report from the Institute of Mechanical Engineers that suggests that technological innovation is now an integral part of sport at the highest level, and that Olympic competition is not just about who is fastest, it's also whose kit is smartest. Now, great that you're pushing the limits of possibility as far as a sport is concerned, but also, there are slight worries that the countries that don't have the financing or the backing to buy these particular sorts of kit are suffering because they can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
They say that technology is as much a part of an athlete's armoury as nutrition, training and coaching. They're saying that the future is sci-fi and there may be spray-on clothing within a couple of decades that repels water. So let's say for the swimmers or triathletes, etc.
I wonder how
yeah, get
how?
This. Well, triathletes could enter a spray chamber to change their clothes between events. 3D printing could build a kit such as running shoes to suit the weather on the day or compensate for injury before a runner goes out on the track. I mean, this is really sci-fi stuff, isn't it? What they actually do use already are such things like the Olympic athletes have had clothes and helmets individually designed for them. And they have these full body scans that give all exact contours, etc. of them. Mountain bikes and sailing harnesses have nano coatings that repel liquid, preventing drag from mud or water. Boxers have trained with overhead cameras that track and record every weave and punch. Divers get post-training feedback on their iPods from poolside computers.
Wow, you have to be an athlete and a technology.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I wonder, I mean, how does that work so that all the participants have access to the same technology? I mean, will the German team have better access than the Nigerian team?
Or, exactly. You know? Well, this is what they're saying. I mean, this is why a lot of the sort of the countries, the less wealthy countries, so to speak, don't compete. The poor in sports involving a lot of technology, such as cycling, sailing and rowing, because the amount of investment that goes into the elite athletes is absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
And they just can't possibly afford it.
That's unfortunate.
And there's various other different things as well. They say that in 2009, apparently, the swimming regulatory body, FINA, banned high-tech swimsuits. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I remember this story come out. And they were these sort of full body suits that a lot of people were wearing, because they thought it would it's less drag, they're more streamlined and they can go faster. Well, anyway, they banned them after 94% of the races at the 2008 Beijing Olympics were won by competitors wearing the LZR Razor suit. So surely it's an unfair advantage.
Well, and what I, you know, this is the same as the story where some of the abled athletes complained about some with the amputees and they had the artificial limbs,
exactly,
saying they have a
technological
an
advancement. Yeah.
So yeah, in that case, I think, you know, you either rule out everything or you include everything, but make sure everybody has access to it.
I think it was the Oscar Pistorius, it was the gentleman's name, I think, went to court in 2008 for the right to run on his prosthetic legs against able-bodied athletes. He had been banned not because he would be at a disadvantage, but because it was thought biotechnology had made him faster.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case in there, then why would they allow other technologies to compete?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how this year's Olympics will be. I mean, I haven't heard any stories as yet about it, about what technology they're using, but it is, I mean, there was a story, I think, just yesterday about the Chinese volleyball team that was not wanting to eat meat because they felt it was full of some kind of additive that they might get caught for drugs testing. I mean, it's just...
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that
which I thought was really worrying.
Yeah, it is.
It's got some chemical in it or something that they put in meat to make it leaner.
Uh-huh.
And they felt that if they ate the meat, then it would go into their system, and that it's actually one of the drugs that you're not allowed to have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is slightly worrying, I think.
It is worrying.
Mind for athletes,
for
what
all
about
of us.
For everybody?
For all of us. The air you breathe.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take another quick break, or first break, I should say, of the hour. We have loads more stories for you.